Did I say 1 John?
Chapter 2.
Chapter 2. Thank you all for paying attention. And Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the love that's in this place. Thank you for the love of your saints, the embrace of a saint. Thank you for the warm smile, the hug, the hello. Thank you for watching and keeping us just for another week, another day, another minute, another second. We understand our very breath is in your hand. Thank you for allowing us to breathe the breath of life. Speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, decaying world, Lord. Illuminate the way, God. Give us insight. Give us discernment, Lord. Help us to understand. Help us to comprehend, Lord. Let us see it coming a mile away. Don't let us keep getting tripped and trapped and stumbling in the darkness, Lord. Let us walk in the light as you are the light. Bless your word, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds. We open our hearts and our minds to receive what you're saying to us this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have been in 1 John chapter 2 for a while. And we've been talking about the light and the dark. Let me read a couple of scriptures. 1 John 2 and 20 says, "But you have an unction, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." Underline all things. Verse, look at 1 John 1 and 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." So the last couple of weeks we've been talking about light and darkness. You have to make a choice. You can't say that you live in the light when you walk in the darkness. Jesus said, "He is the light." We talked about it last week in John 8 when he told him, "I'm the light of the world." And we talked about it in John 3, where it said the men didn't like the light because it exposed their deeds that were dark. And so we've been talking light and darkness. If you look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5, John 3 and 5, and it kind of talks about this whole light and dark thing and this. Either you have to choose sides, and remember, if you don't choose a side, then you're in darkness by default. You can't be in the middle. It's either light or dark. He didn't say it was the shade or the gray. It's light or dark. Verse 5, 1 John 3 and 5, "And you know that he was manifested, he being Jesus Christ, to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." Somebody say amen. Amen. Because remember, we couldn't take away our own sins. Verse 6, "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him." It's talking about if you're practicing sin, you're living a lifestyle of sin, then you're not walking with God. You don't have him in you. And look what it says in verse 7. "Little children, let no one deceive you." And remember, deceive is a same word. It's a synonym for seduce. And so, remember, seduction, it always benefits the other person. It's always based on a lie, and you always come up short in the end. It says Eve was seduced by Satan to eat the fruit. He deceived her. He lied to her. He seduced her. Back in the day, we thought it was cool to seduce somebody. Is my mic still on? I got the, okay, all right. We the holy crowd this morning. That's cool. But back in the day, you thought it was a game. But now he's saying, God is saying, look, you're on another level now. The standard is so much higher. Let no one seduce or deceive you. He that doeth right, verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth right is right. Even as he is righteous. If you do right, you're right. If you're living right, you're right. Amen. You can't be living wrong saying that I'm right. It doesn't work. And then it says, verse 8, he that committeth sin, he that's practiced sin is of, So remember, we're talking light and dark. So you know, if you're practicing sin, he says you are of the devil. So he breaks it up into two families, either family of God or the family. So here we are, you're light, you're dark, you belong to the family of God, or you belong to the family of the devil. Boy, the word is tough. Well, I tell you, I'm just reading it, folks. I'm not making it up. Verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, somebody say amen, the Son of God was manifested that he would destroy the works of the devil. So you don't need to be mad at Adam anymore. If Adam wouldn't ate the fruit, then we wouldn't. Don't worry about that. He says Jesus Christ was manifest. It's all straightened out now. Now we got Christ. It's all good. Thank God for Jesus. Don't be upset with Adam. Thank God for Jesus, who straightened this mess out. Now we can live right. Now we have the bridge back to God. Don't waste your time being upset. Be thankful. That's why we all should be thankful and grateful. If for nothing else, that Jesus Christ was manifest that he might destroy, demolish, get rid of the works of the devil. Verse 9, whoever is born of God. That's why in John 3 and 3, he said, if you must be born again. I was talking with Brother Clarence, and what he said, if you're born twice, then you die once, you go to be with God. But if you're born once, then you die twice. The natural death and then the eternal death separated from God. All right. Let me say that again. If you're born twice, you're born and then you get born again. You only die once. And it's really a transition to be with God. But if you're not and you're just born once, then you're going to die twice. The first death and the second death, which is separated from God. Whosoever is born of God, somebody say amen, you must be born again. Think about it. I don't care how you were born. People say, I was born like this. I was born like that. So was I. We all were born with issues. That's okay. That's why Christ said we must be born again if we're going to see the kingdom of heaven. Have to be born of water and spirit. It's okay. Stop making excuses. You can be born again. You don't have to live like you're living. You can live a spirit, Holy Spirit filled life. Verse 9. Whosoever is born of God does not practice sin. That's what that word commit. You're not practicing it. Doesn't mean you don't have struggles and issues, but it's not a practice. It's not a way of life for you. You're constantly confessing and forsaking. You're seeking God. You're fellowshipping. You're not practicing sin. You're growing closer to God through your struggles. Because God, it says, for his seed, God's seeds remains in you. And you just cannot live any kind of way. You can't practice sin because you're born of God. You're born again. And God won't let you. Because you'll be sitting up there. You'll be left and say, man, what am I doing? Why do I keep getting into this? Why do I keep making it? I got to get my life together right now. God, I know you created me for something way more than this. You can't practice it. You will not be comfortable if you're born of God. Verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifested. Okay. Manifest mean expose, are made known. In this, the children. So it's not a secret who's living for God and who's not. The word says you will know them by your fruit. Remember, we don't judge, but we are fruit inspectors. Amen. Verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest. It's made known. And the children of the devil. So what you do shows who you are really committed to. It says it right there. Whosoever does not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. So you can't even say that you live in right. And I'm doing everything God's called me to do, but I hate my brother and my sister. No, it doesn't work like that. Forgiveness has to come in. I've kept all the commandments, like the rich ruler. I kept all the commandments since my birth. Go and sell all that you have and give, and I have treasure stored up for you in heaven. He was sad because he wasn't being honest. He really hadn't. There were certain things he was holding on to. You can't say that you love God and you hate your brother. We already know that. Verse 11, this is a message that we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Look at verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and killed his brother because his own works. And why did he kill his brother? Because his own works were evil and his brothers were right. It's obvious. So we've been talking light and dark, and then it's you have to choose a side. But this is a beautiful thing about it. And we've talked about this, too. God didn't leave us alone. Christ didn't leave us alone. So we don't have to go at this alone. We have help. And this is the beautiful thing. Look back at 1 John 2 and 20. It says, but you have an unction, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. So the Holy Spirit teaches us. So as we're trying to live, we're trying to live right. We can pray. And that's why we've been praying and fasting each morning. Before we start our day, we get up and we pray, Holy Spirit, teach me. That's why you have the prayer on the back of your bulletin. You can be led and you can and be guided through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can live a spirit filled life. And look at this. Go to 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1. I thank God that he didn't leave us comfortless. 2 Corinthians 1 and 22. When you're there, say amen. Okay, it's talking about Christ. And verse 22 is, who has also sealed us. Underline, sealed. So Christ sealed us, which means he secured us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So that word earnest is, it goes to a down payment. Oh, it's Christmas time. You all act like you don't know what a down payment is. Amen. So God is saying that he's put a down payment on us through the Holy Spirit. He sealed us, Sister Caraway. He's secured us. And he actually says secured us from Satan. So remember, when Satan approached God regarding Job, he had to get permission. So through the Holy Spirit, we're sealed. We're secured from Satan. He can't touch us unless God gives him permission.
That's right.
So we are secured. And then it's a down payment. And I remember growing up, I'm kind of a little bit older, but I remember I used to have layaway. It also means layaway. Where you go, say, you know what, I want that. And you put some money on it. And it costs $200, but you got $25. Can I put it on layaway? And that's mine. Nobody else can touch it because I got it laid away. That's what God is saying through the Holy Spirit. He's put us on layaway. He's coming back for us. Can't touch it. Hey, man, how many of y'all remember layaway? No interest at all. I got $25. I'll make $25 payments. And you say, if you couldn't afford it, it was stay away. All right. Just don't come to the store. Yeah, we ain't shoplifting today, all right? But God has put us on layaway through the Holy Spirit. He teaches us, he guides us, he directs us through the Holy Spirit. So it's certain things that God protects us from because we are on layaway and we are sealed. That word also means when we're sealed, let me see, where did I put it at? It also means that he's smeared us. He's oiled us up with the Holy Spirit. It gives us wisdom, insight, knowledge, comprehension from the Holy Spirit. So you've been smeared. So the enemy, he sees you when you have Christ in your heart and you have the Holy Spirit. You've been smeared. The enemy sees that certain things. I can't do it. I can't touch it. It's smeared, it's oiled up with the Holy Spirit, and that's power to live right. Let me show you what I'm talking about, even more plain. And we're going to dig deeper next. We turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. So we know the familiar story how, and I love this story. I hope one day, and your family, you all know, I tell you all the time, I got ADD. I'm trying to study and I'm all over the place. But I'm going to get back to Daniel. One of these days, I'm going to come back to Daniel chapter 6 because it is just an incredible story of God's providence and God's covering and God's grace and God's promotion and struggles. So, you know, they lied on him because he took a stand for Jesus Christ. So, family, when we take a stand for Jesus Christ, we can't expect everybody to be happy about it. Youth, when you're taking a stand at school, trust me, they don't like you. And they will talk about you, but that's okay. They did it to Daniel. And they threw him in the lion's den. They tricked the king. And men, I have a whole nother lesson, a men's lesson. And when we go on our retreat, hopefully we'll get a chance to share it. But it talks about the life of the king. And oftentimes we talk about Daniel, but then it's a whole nother lesson with the life of the king. And now he got deceived by the people around him because he was listening to foolishness. And then he prayed after he made his decision. Well, he should have prayed before. If he would have prayed before he made that decision, he would have saw right through what they were doing. So it's a whole nother. And then he did fast and pray. But man, that's why we pray and fast before we make a decision and not after. That's a whole, I tell you, okay, let me keep going. That's not where I'm trying to go today. Men, that's for you, all right? That's why I'm telling us, man, we got to be praying and fasting because I think I shared this. Well, I'll even share it this morning. Okay, here we go. I'll tell you why, man, I'm coming back to that. Did I say Daniel 6 and 16? Somebody say amen if I said that. Okay, then the king commanded and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Somebody say amen. Even the king knew that God served Daniel. But he got tricked. He got deceived into setting Daniel up because he was listening to the wrong people. You have to be careful who you listen to, who's building you up, who's telling you to make decisions. All right, I'm not trying to go there right now. But verse 17 is where I'm trying to go. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And here's look at the word. And the king did what? He sealed, underlined sealed. He put his mark on it. Just like God puts his seal on us that nothing can touch us. Look why he sealed it. And the king sealed it with his own signet, his signet ring, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed according to Daniel. That means that if somebody walked by and it was going to touch it, if they would hear Daniel screaming, help, help, and they, oh, whoa, that's the king's. I can't touch it. That belongs to the king. I got to back up. I don't care what Daniel was screaming, how he was hollering. If when they saw that king seal, oh, you got to step back. Because it's reserved for the king. Young ladies, you're the temple of God. You have the Holy Spirit. These guys, when they see you, they go, whoa, that's for the king. They need to back up. Because it's reserved for the king. And you just don't let anything that's reserved for the king, you don't let anybody deal with that. Amen. Young ladies and young men, what you have is so special, what God has given you. Don't you give it to just any joker. You wait for your husband, you wait for your wife. Amen. It's you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. That belongs to the king until you are married. I don't know if my mic is working this morning. And you're sealed, and the enemy sees it, and he wants to bother, but he can't, but you can't let him in. It's sealed by the king. They could not touch it. And then look at verse 18. Then, somebody say then. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night. He didn't even sleep, so he's fasting all night. But I'm telling you, men, if you do that before you make a decision, God gives you the discernment through the Holy Spirit to see what's coming. Don't wait till after the fact. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments or music brought before him, and his sleep. He didn't sleep at all praying for Daniel. That's a good thing. But when you get your decisions, man, before you make them, pray and fast like that before the decision. Then it's less mess to clean up. But thank God he was a praying man. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, now here's what I want to show the men. Look at verse 24. Go to 6:24. See, the men who tricked Daniel, they were up to no good. And men will say, oh, you know, I'm good. I'm not bothering anybody. It's just me. I'm just doing me. But that's not true, because what they did affected their whole families. So, men, we always have to understand that it's not, we represent God, we represent our household, and when we go out, and whatever we do, it affects our wives, our kids, our grandkids, it affects our whole family, and don't be ignorant thinking it doesn't. It does. So these men had no idea that when they were building up this lie about Daniel, that it was going to come back on their family like this. They thought they were getting away with something. And we all know that God says vengeance is mine. We don't get away with anything. God, help us to live right. Help us to pray and fast, because when it comes down, Lord, it's going to be exposed. The light will expose the darkness, and we haven't gotten away with anything. And it affects our families, our wives, our kids. God, let us live the truth and not a lie. Let us not practice sin. Let us practice life and obedience. God, help us. Verse 24, and the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. But it didn't stop there. Them, their children, and their wives. Wow. So every decision I make, I'm not just doing me. I'm cool. I got this. This is my business. I'm the man of the house. I handle this. I'm cool. You don't need to know. Yeah, we do need to know. Because when it comes down to it, it's going to affect me and the kids. Men, hear what I'm saying. Let the pride go. Let the Holy Spirit come, lead, guide, and direct. That's why we need to be praying and fasting every morning. Because this is not a game. The enemy's out to kill, steal, and destroy. That's why the word says, be sober, be alert, be vigilant, because the adversary walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. All right, here we go. Verse 24. And the king commanded, they brought those men which had accused Daniel. They cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had mastery over them and broke all their bones into pieces even before they got to the bottom of the lion's den. Wow. Well, let me get back to where I was trying to go. That was just a bone. I was trying to say in verse 17 that the stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it. In 2 Corinthians 1:22, it talks about how God has sealed us with his Holy Spirit. Take advantage of that, family. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. It said it would teach us. It says, let not your heart be afraid. It would teach us all things. That's why we have that prayer on the back of the bulletin. That's why we've been praying and fasting all year. That's why we're looking forward to finishing the year strong and starting the new year off even stronger. But we've been sealed and so much more. We just touched the surface. We're talking light and dark. And now we're talking about how to live this thing through the power of the Holy Spirit. We just touched the surface, and we will we'll pick it up. We had a shorter service because of communion. And, you know, it's just about time for us to dismiss for the other service to come in. But we'll pick it up here next week. Amen. So let's just bow our heads and just for a quick word of prayer. Maybe someone's here. We can never be sure. Maybe someone's here and they're not saved. Say, Pastor, I need to give my heart and life to Jesus Christ. I've been hearing the word. I know God's been speaking to my heart. And I know today I can't wait to the new year. If you're not saved, you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, elevate your hand. I want to pray for you. God is real. Jesus Christ is real. When you do the research, you see how real God is. It all leads back to Christ and Christ crucified, dying for our sins. We have to have atonement for our sins. So if you've never accepted Christ, you need to be covered by the blood and you need to get filled with the Holy Spirit so he can seal you until he comes back for you. You're his down payment. He's coming back for you. He's got you. That's why when we're sealed with that Holy Spirit, we pass away and God just takes us up because he's already put the down payment, which is the Holy Spirit inside of us. Or maybe you're here and say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate. I spent the whole year saying what I was going to do and I never did it. So maybe you want to rededicate this morning. You're not going to wait to January 1, 2015, but you say, today, Pastor, I just want to get right back on track. I want to get right with God. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Or maybe you're looking for a church home. You say, Pastor, I've been coming. I haven't joined, but I've been enjoying the fellowship, from the worship to the word. And I'd love to unite with South Bay Abundant Life Church. If that's you, elevate your hand. Love to be your pastor. We'd love to be your people. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. How we love you, Lord. Ah, you're so good and greatly to be praised. So if you're, once again, salvation, rededication, or membership, if that's you, elevate your hand. I'm going to ask my brother Tim and Sister Louita to come on up. We thank God for the I'm going to ask some of the leaders, you know, come up. And you know how we surround our folks around here. And let's get their. Well, Tracy saw them in the window. Let's get those three boys up here, too. Come on, Andrew, Liam. You got Ethan coming, too, and Elliot. You guys come on up. Yeah, I got little Ethan. I got Ethan, Elliot, Liam, Andrew. You guys come up. Get your mom and dad's hand. What a blessed family. And thank you all for the Lord leading your heart to unite with us. Here you go, Elliot. Hold my hand, man. So, Lord, we thank you for this couple, Tim and Louita Davis, Lord, and their kids, Andrew, Liam, Elliot, and Ethan, Lord, for uniting with us. And just like we're surrounding them now, Lord, we promise to surround them with love, with fellowship, with wisdom, with challenging them, Lord, and caring for them and walking with them, Lord, here at South Bay Abundant Life Church. Thank you, Lord. We know the purpose is to make disciples, Lord. We promise to help them find their method, whatever that is, Lord. However you choose to use them, Lord, will be of support. Thank you for the blessing that they are already to this house and that they're going to continue to be. Thank you for the gifts that are in them. Thank you for using them, Lord. We pray a special blessing upon the four young men, Lord. Cover them, keep them. Pray that they would come into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ at an early age, that mom and dad will always model Christ before them, Lord. We'd walk right alongside of them, Lord, as family. Bless their marriage as husband and wife, Lord, and bless their finances, bless everything concerning them, Lord, as they walk in obedience to your word. Cover us as we cover them, and we thank you, we bless you for this great day, Lord. It's a beautiful family uniting with South Bay Abundant Life Church. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Stand to your feet. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. Give someone a hug, and we are dismissed. God bless you.
How are you?
Got you.